Good evening. On behalf of our family, I would like to thank all of you for coming this evening as we commemorate the 50 art site of Chaim Yisachar, which will take place this coming Tuesday, Yud Gimel Iyar. The past few years, I've spoken about Project Yichi and the impact and progress that we have made in assisting cancer patients, as to date we have helped over 170 cancer patients and have paid out nearly $900,000 in rents and mortgages. Brochures and envelopes and magnets are outside. But tonight I would like to briefly read to you something that was recently written about Chaim. I might have shared it with a few of you, but I know I didn't with many of you. A while ago, a friend of mine came over to me after shul on Shabbos and told me that I needed to stop by his house. He had a pamphlet he wanted to share with me. I forgot about it, and he came running the next Shabbos and said, "You got to come by." I came by, and he handed me a pamphlet that a young couple, a chassan and kala, just starting out in life, and their names were Talia and Binyamin. They had written the pamphlet and had put some serious thought as to why they selected certain songs for people to walk down their chuppah. It was a beautiful pamphlet. And they wrote, "Binyamin's grandparents are walking down to the music of the song Shomer Yisrael, originally sung by Chaim Feigenbaum, Alav HaShalom, of Omei Kadavar. There is no other way to thank Hashem than with the song of Shomer Yisrael, which speaks about Hashem, the ultimate protector of the Jewish people. Whether in the field of Yemen or in Nazi Germany, Hashem is always with us and protecting us from harm." And then they continued. This is an idea that Chaim, the singer of the song, stood for. Chaim passed away after a long battle with cancer. His whole life, and especially while he was sick, his mission was to spread the concept of Emunah throughout the world. Throughout his entire course of treatment, he sent out emails expressing his positive attitudes and hope. All along the long and dreadful process, he always kept the perspective of Emunah and Bitachon, and even started an Emunah campaign to spread his beliefs. After he passed away, his family created a sheet of 5 quotes from his emails that encompassed his main idea of Emunah. One of my favorite quotes from the list is, "Every day brings its own ups and downs as we continue to fight the obstacles that are placed before us. But as always, we can never forget it's all from Hashem, it's all for the best, and it's all for a purpose. Emunah always wins." Emunah is not just a saying or a feeling. It's a way of life. If we live with the perspective of Emunah and positively, we will succeed. Even though we didn't know Chaim personally, he impacted both of us individually and together, and we will always have him in our hearts. My friends, 5 years later, and Chaim Yisachar is still making an impact. May the learning that we do tonight have an aliyah for Chaim Yisachar's neshama, and thank you for coming.
The annual Chaim Feigenbaum Memorial Shir is an important part of my calendar. It gives me opportunity to focus on a person that I think of frequently during the course of the year. And the hergish I had today as I was thinking about what I would say this evening was that the pasuk of this parsha opens up Achrei Mos Shnei Bnei Aaron. And we know that Nadav Yaviu left Klal Yisrael on a day that was supposed to be a day of great simcha. First day of Nisan, the day of Ashrei Shechina, the day of the first day of what would have the Mishkan. And when we think about Chaim, we think about a person who had the promise of being a life full of simcha, full of joy. He's a person of great integrity and great simcha, a rare combination. And in the later years of his very young life, he channeled that simcha into Avodas Hashem. And as Jackie spoke about, into the developing the strength of Emunah. The minyan that our shul recently embraced, led by Rav Moshe Tzvi, who was the speaker last year, is very much the vision of Chaim, and very much maintains his avoda, and will continue to do so. I'm grateful to the Feigelman family for bringing to us this evening the opportunity to host and to hear Rav Eitan Feiner. I could introduce our guest by saying that he's a great Talmud Chacham, blessed with a remarkable recall. I could tell you, you'll find out momentarily, that he's a captivating speaker, very much in demand in the American scene, and one of the inspiring voices of the Gateways seminars. I could tell that he's a renowned Rav who revived the neighborhood by bringing in young people, Tzemeim Lishmo Devorov. I could tell you that he's a great mentor, and he trains younger Rabbanim, and now my son Mati has the privilege of being one of them. And I can tell you that he's a source of chizuk and inspiration through his work as a Rav, the way that he leads his own life together with his Rebbetzin. But our guest this evening, Rav Feiner, is much more than that. I would introduce him as a phenomenon. As a phenomenon that I have watched for many years from the reports I would get about his shiurim and shari chesed that brought in records of young people to the Torah that he teaches and that he inspires so many of you, so many of us, in the recorded shiurim that make its way out. Very grateful that Rav Feiner will join us this evening and will speak to us.
Baruch atah Adonai. Eloheinu melech ha'olam shehakol niyeh bedvaro. Bershus yor loshrius morad asra hagon Rabbi Nuberger Shlita. If I can just be mosif to add a brief addendum, I think the best thing with Siyata Deshmaya that I've done for the community is to bring in your Rav's son, Baruch Hashem, from whom the Tzibor, the community, and beyond, they are yonek endlessly from his incredible Torah, and they get a glimpse of what his chashuv, a renowned father, must be like. It's a tremendous chus and a kavod, and now this evening to come to speak in his shul, beautiful both, and the chelak hachitzoni and the chelak hapnimi, both outside aesthetics, the inside, the pinimius, the shifus, the ritzonos, to shtag, to grow, and learning in avoda, and almas Hashem, and yiras Hashem. It's a tremendous chus, an honor, and a privilege to be mishtatef, to share with you divrei Torah befrat, especially couched in a context of a shir, Lilo Nishmas, Schus the Aliyas on Neshama, of a very special individual I've heard from his Choshva brother, Yibodo Lachayim, Rafaigenbaum, Shlita Rav, and our community as well, how dear and beloved his brother was to him, to the Mishpacha, and of course to his extended Mishpacha, to all of you. It's a special Zuchus to come and share Divrei Torah that was Siyat Ishmael should contribute to his continuous Aliyas in Neshama and Gan Eden Shamayla. Should be an emes to Kamila Tiosho by the Kisa Kova to bring Yeshuas and Rafuas, Simchas and Mesuras Tovos, and Agula Shleima B'mheira V'yameinu, Amen V'yamein. There's a story that took place in the Midwest a number of years ago. It was a public school, and there were a number of Jewish students who attended that public school, and they were listening to a very popular non-believing teacher in the second grade. And one day the teacher gets up to the class and says, I want everyone to know if you want to really live a meaningful life, the best thing is to be an atheist. You should be an atheist just like myself. I'm a proud atheist, don't believe in God. And here she's proclaiming to these fledglings, the youth, the second graders, don't believe in God. There's no such thing as the Almighty. And she's going on telling them espouse atheism. And when she finishes her brief discussion on the topic, she says, now by a raise of hands, here the popular second grade teacher in the community, in the school and beyond says, so how many of you here are an atheist? By a show of hands, and of course the second graders wanting nothing more but to please their teacher. Immediately they all raise their hands except for one little girl, Sarah, sitting in the back row. And the teacher turns indignant, furious. She turns to Sarah and says, Sarah, tell me, how come you didn't raise hands? She says, because teacher, you see, I'm Jewish and I'm a proud believer in God. Says, Sarah, why in the world do you want to be Jewish? She says, it's very simple. My mother's Jewish and my father's Jewish, so I'm Jewish. And the teacher responds and says, Sarah, what type of logic is that? And if your father was a moron and your mother was a moron, then what would you be? And she said, then I'd be an atheist. And that takes us to a third grade in a neighboring school where the teacher is looking around. She says, I want everyone to rewind, to go back to the story of creation, go back to the beginning. I want you to draw a picture of something that transpired in one of the 7 days of the week. And the teacher's walking along and she sees that there's a young Jewish girl, Leah, and she's drawing a picture of what looks like an image of a creator. And she says, tell me, Leah, what are you drawing? She says, I'm drawing God. She says, Leah, but nobody knows what God looks like. She says, well, they will in a minute. The emuna pshuta of a second grader. The innocence. The unadulterated sweetness of what it means to believe in God, to know it wholeheartedly, to know it. And your lev and your nefesh. But it's one thing to believe. It's another thing to know. It's another thing to live it. So let's go back to Pesach. After all, here we are in the midst of Sfiras Omer. We have a famous Ramban, Parshas Emor, Perachav Gimel Pasuk Lamed Vav, where the Ramban writes that Pesach and Shavuos are Be'etzem are essentially Shnei Chatzom L'mat Be'echa. They're two sides of one coin. They're two halves of a Yontif. The Yontif commences with Chag HaPesach. Then it traverses that interim period that Tkufa HaYemtzos branded the appellation Sfiras Omer, then a Meshtamish Kilu Be'bechinus Echol HaMoed, and then the Yontif culminates with Shavuos, hence appropriately labeled Atzeres. It's the end, it's the close of a Yontif. So yes, there is Sholosh Regolit, but in the end of the day, there's some unique aspect to the crowning, a joining together of a Pesach and Shavuos, because Mitzan Echon, Mibachina Achas, they represent one combined Yontif. Pesach begins the process of the Gula, and in the same manner that the Eivishter, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu, that Tavdenosi El HaRazeh, the purpose, the objective, the primary aim, and the paramount purpose for the very Yetziah was you're going to culminate Yetziah's Mitzrayim with a Matan Torah. After all, you can have no longer Shiva Malchus. You won't be Avdei Paro. You're on a journey now. You're on a trek to become an Eved Hashem, but you need the instruction manual. You need the guidebook. How in the world can I be a living, breathing Eved Hashem? You need the Torah. I can't go ahead and fully be an Evan Hashem in my life if I have the ubiquitous presence of the Yitzhar, the evil inclination, breathing heavily down my neck 24-7, 365. What's the way out? Erev and Adela and Amanela for the mission of Perkeelis, Barba Mishnah Beis. The idea of Altakri, Choros, Alukas, Alachiris, Chiris, and the Yitzhar. The way to achieve ultimate freedom is release yourself from the bondage of the ubiquitous presence of the Yitzhar, the evil inclination. I can only achieve that goal when I stand at the Piedmont of Sinai and I went is that grand revelation, the unparalleled revelation of Hashem revealing to us His Etzem Mitziuso like never before, giving us the greatest gift of them all. Ki lakato nesati lachem tarasi atozovo. We're getting married to Hakadosh Baruch Hu kaviyochol b'shas shavuos the atzeres. That's the tachlis, the primary goal, and the number one aim of Yetzias Mitzrayim is to stand at the foot of Sinai and to receive the Torah Kadosha, the greatest gift in the history of the world. So let's press rewind. Let's go back to Pesach. Let's go back to Lel HaSeder. A night that Rosh Shlomo Brevda writes in Daf Mem Vav, page 46 of his wonderful work, Lel Shimurim, quoting a Masorah tradition handed down from none other than the renowned Gra, than the Vilna Gaon, who told us, Talmidim, that there are more mitzvahs to perform on Lel HaSeder than on any other night of the year. 64 mitzvahs, 64 golden opportunities to be mizdavik, to be betzavsa in the company of HaKadosh Baruch Hu kaviyochol, more mitzvahs than in any other night of the year, gevaldik. So what do? We don a kittel, as the Maral elaborates in his drosh of the Shamas HaGono. We want to elevate ourselves onto the lofty spiritual plateau when we attain that the milestone of being ki'ilu like malachi asharis, like members in God's celestial court, like one of our HaKadosh Baruch Hu's heavenly angels. We want to don the kittel and we want to spend a night shakua, mired, immersed to legamri in Torah mitzvahs, the famous Maral and his Gevuras Hashem HaGonosh HaPesach. I had Rabbi Akiva and his colleagues Mesubim B'nei Brak Hayim Esabiyot Yitzhayim Koloso Laila Chavon Tamideim V'yamru Lam Rabbasinu Agiyas Rakriyashma Shachris. How could they forget about Kriyashma? And if there's anyone in the world that we would think would be the last individual to forget about Kriyat Shema, it would be none other than the illustrious Rabbi Akiva. Broke us the bottom of some machalaf and beis. Rabbi Akiva says, my whole life I lived, I was breathing Shema Yisrael. Yotzu Nishmosu B'yechad. He's the one to forget Shema Yisrael. Teretz answers the Maromi Prague. They were so immersed in this simcha of the night. It was so unparalleled, such an unbelievable lofty status that they achieved. They were kilo l'maylim and azman, l'maylim and atefa. So shaku in the simcha of the Torah, the simcha of Sipur Yetzias Yisrael. Yes, even Rabbi Akiva v'chaverov, they kilo were oblivious to the fact that Igiri Yisman Kriyash Masha Shachris. And then we make our way to the end of the Seder. Finally, after all the hours, we got through Shulchan Aruch, Baruch Hashem, we got to eat a bissel, and we make our way to the end of the Seder. Now, remember, this is a night, 64 golden opportunities of mitzvahs. Alpi the Maral, we got to a level, Kamalachi Ashuris. Now, we know from Bokas, Daf Yud Beis, and Alva, Koholachach Rachisu, Zil Bosor Chasim, it all comes down to the end. So the end of the God is going to be Geshmak. It's going to be unbelievable. Yes, Chagad Yoz, the very last song with the Tashfetz, is the only one of the Gedol Rishon who even has Chagad Yoz in his Agada. There are other Rishon, the Rakeach, that might talk about it, but La Maisa, yes, it's a Chalak in the Chidon. Shuvas Chaim Shaal, Alav Chavdalin, yes, we have to say Chaganya, but in Ruben, the Ruben, the vast majority of the Haggadah, the Rishon of the last song is Echon Mi Yodea. So here we are at the end of a Seder. We were donning the Kittu, we were living Kemalachi Asharis. It was Geshmak, you got the children of Alt, Kadesh, Lo Yishana, Vishalo, the whole Sugin, Arab Sochem, Kavchesim, and Beis, Kuptesim, and Alf, we deviated from the norm, we got the children involved, engaged in this process, family united like never before, Kemalachi Asharis, and here we are making it to the end, and what do we do? Echon mi yodei. Okay, everybody, back to second grade. Here we go. Who knows one? I think I know one. Oh, the Almighty above. Two. Oh, what's two? Shnei mi yodei. Shnei lechos abris. Very good. Okay, we'll give you a candy for that. We'll give you a little chocolate Pesach lollipop for that one. Who knows three? Oh, gimel avos. Oh, very good. Brachos nesayin abasing. Kor nevasol l'shlosha. Four. Five. Anyone know? Chamisha chamsha. Hakishmak. Very. What are we doing? Going back to second grade? This is a lofty spiritual night when we become Kemalachi Ashores. This is a night replete with 64 mitzvahs, Api, the Grom, more than any other night of the year. And the culmination, the climax is what? Let's go back to first, second grade. Let's go back to Cheder. Who knows one? Who knows two? Eight. Oh, Shoni, Meimila, Givali, seven, Shabbos. Oh, I got that one. Okay. What's going on here? listen to this teretz of Rav Avraham Gorovitz, the Rosh Yeshiva of Gateshead Yeshiva, who writes this unbelievable insight in a sefer in the Moedim called Vanfei Arzei El, Rav Shor. Rav Avraham Shor from Brooklyn in his Hagodosh HaPesach HaLekach Malibu V'so. Astounded by this vort, he says, I have to be matik. He prints this vort in his Hagodosh HaPesach as well. Listen to this gem. If you forget everything else I say tonight, you will not forget this one. I do apologize if I go a little faster. Don't sit back and relax. They once told me in the shul, and that rabbi, you know, if you would go ahead and speak as slowly as you daven, and you would daven as fast as you speak, then we'd be in good shape. So don't sit back and relax, buckle up for the ride. Let's listen to an unbelievable insight by Rav Avraham Gorovitz, the Gates at Rosh Yeshiva. And he says, Hanku, for precisely to highlight, to mark, that this night is more, not just different, but more special. In a certain way, from one unique perspective, Mibachina Achas, the Umas, in contradistinction to all the other nights of the year, we get to such a lofty, elevated status that let's go to the therapeutic Rosh Hashanah test. If I throw out the number and ID, I show you a card. There's often a litmus test that can gauge. Tell me, where are you holding? What's your mind thinking about? I throw out a number. I throw out a concept, an idea. What's the very first thing that comes to your mind? When we're holding by the end of a Pesach Seder, then we're so outside. We're mufka from Olam Hazeh, from the Olam Hateva, from the mundane material world that surrounds us. We leave temporarily this world and we get to a Madrega. That if I throw out one in your radar screen, what's one? There only is one in your radar screen. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's it. I threw out two. What's two? Not how many cars you have in your driveway. There only is one, two. The Shnei Lechaz Abris. Three. Not how many vacations you plan on taking this year. Am I a yid in the Siyuma de Milsa, the end, the culmination of a Pesach Seder? There only is one answer to the aforementioned questions, and that is, when I throw out a three, you know what every Erlich Yid is going to answer? The immediate response, take it from me on, is going to be one thing and one thing only. The three of us, the four emos, the Chamishuchum Sheitara, and the Shisha, Siddur, Mishnah, and so on and so forth. That's the only thing on your radar screen when you get to the end of a Pesach Seder night. That's Echon Miyodea. That's how special, how unique the night ought to be. And it makes a lot of sense. What do we call it? The Pesach Seder. The Alexander Rebbe writes in the Sefer Yismach Yisrael, we know that Torah is Neschalik into Dalet Chalakim, and we have what's referred to so often. Sugan Chagiga Dafir Beis to Yedalet Dalet Nichnasu LePardes. They were Metaya LePardes Pardes Rosh Hetevus an acronym Pshat Remez Drusot. Writes the Yismach Yisrael, what do we call the night of Seder? Seder Samech Dalet Reish Samech Keneged So Dalet Keneged Rush Reish Keneged Remez. What happened to the pay? Where's Pshat? Azog the Heilige Yismach Yisrael, the Alexander Rebbe. You know what Leila Seder is all about? There is no Pashat Pshat. On Seder night, we're temporarily leaving this world. We have such a darga of amuna. We're eating the matzah, the amnusa, to borrow that terminology of the Zohar HaKodesh, the matzah, the food of amuna. I'm not going to wait for it to rise, because in the night of Yetzias Yisrael, there's nothing on my radar screen but wanting to be in Evan Hashem, wanting to make the journey to Har Sinai, the culmination of Yetzias Yisrael that would allow me to serve HaKodesh Baruch Hu as an Erlecha Tamimistik Evan Hashem. It's got to start with Seder night. There is no pshat. We could be halolo of the Avodah Zorah, the halolo of the Avodah Zorah. We could be holding on the nadir, the lowest point of all depravity and all perversity and corruption. We're oved Avodah Zorah, mitzad echad, and yet what? Yes, menta sheretuma, and alpha peak, and I'm going to take you out. Alpha peak, and I'm going to take you out. Why? We have many midrashim, midrash rabba tenchuma, lekach tov, seichot tov, yakot shemoni, loshinu, eshmamas, leshonim, smamashayim, which parenthetically, they're never juxtaposed in any midrash that we have. We never have all three together. It's really a combination of different midrashi chazal. And then we have mugdam and arayas, and the alkot says, mischus amuna. You know what we got out of the Chamushim, the one-fifth that was Zoicha to the Exodus from Egypt was what? Bischos in the merit of Amuna. We're going to eat the matzah, the Mayim Nusa, the Ocho that represents Amuna. And we're going to be living in a realm, Lamaila Menateva, Lamaila from Pshat. And the Phineas Daiti, now it makes sense. Yet another one of myriad reasons why do we lane Shir Hashir and Bedafka in conjunction with the Yad of Pesach, Lefinias Naiti, it's so apropos, because in all the Chof Dalet Sifrei Tanakh, Keneged the Chof Dalet Yeshutei Kalov, in the biblical canon, in all scripture, we have 24 Sfarim of Tanakh, and there's only one that stands alone as what? There is no Pashup Shat, the Shir Ashirim, it's Kulo, it's replete with imagery. Rashi, Lepshupto, Shemikra, Nibo, and Alpha Pekin, it's all about the metaphors, constant invoking of metaphors and simile. At imagery, there is no Pashup Shat and Shir Ashirim, Hagufer precisely, because Pesach is all about the Seder Samach Dal Rei Sod. Drush and Remez, there is no pay for Pshat. It's Pardes without the pay, because Pesach, nothing makes sense. And the end of the day, as the Midi Yisoskor is Marich, the Orgad Ayoan, and Yoni Pesach, and so many wonderful Hasidus is for him, Pesach itself highlights what, subtly alluding to Pesach, skipping over, passing over, Haloshen of Diluk, typically as the Medrash and Shirashim Rambam, Parshay, you know, Skimel writes, Piskali, Pesach, Shemachav, and Yevdel Chabishach, Shalulam. But over here, I don't require anything. No Isarusa de la Tosa, no Hisoris Milamata. I'm going to go in and take you out, even if you're Oved of Anuzor, even if you're holding a Memta Shari Tuma. Why? It's not about Pshat. It's about Devekus, attaching yourself to the Almighty. That's Yetzias Hashayim, the commencement of the Yontif that will culminate in getting to know a Kodesh Baruch Hu like never before, with the divine encounter that will take place in the midst of a revelation on Har Sinai. That's the night of Pesach. We begin a journey consuming a matzah d'mei himnusa, a matzah that's all about emunah. We're going to go out and start a long trek in the hot, arid, dry desert. And we don't know where our food is going to come from, where our water is going to come from. And you know what? It doesn't make a nafkamina. Not an ounce of difference. We're living with the Ribono Shalom. We're about to journey to get the instruction manual as we stand at the Piedmont of Sinai. That is Yetzias Hatzayim. So what got us out? One thing Chazal and Regala that they disclosed to us is the Schus of Amunah. And thus, when we open up a Chumash and we read about Moshe Rabbeinu telling Klai Yisrael he's taking them out of Mitzrayim, what do we read? We read how Klai Yisrael finally believed. Turning to Shmos, Perek Dalet, the end of the sixth Aliyah, Perek Dalet, Posek Lamed Aleph reads, Vayamein Ha'am, Vayishmu Ki Fokan Hashem Es Bnei Yisrael, V'chiros Anyam Vayikdu Vayishtachavu, we bow down and hachna in a demonstration of utter subjugation and sheer subservience before the Almighty, knowing fully well He's in control. He is sending us, as the Ramban and other Gedolei Rishonim point out, the Tzach Hadash V'Achav, through the Emtsoi, through the medium, via the conduit of the Yesar Makis, He's highlighting to one and all, the world over, not just Klai Yisrael, that He controls every aspect of the creation. He can manipulate every chelek of the Bria at will. Dom, the waters of the world that occupy, of course, 70% of the universe, or to quote the Handy Ocean Answer Book on page 6, it's actually 70.78 of the universe is occupied by water. Hashem controls the water. Dam, Tzvardeya, the supreme Aquaman, Kaviyachol, God controls all the Brias Kenan, and the lowliest creatures in the world, the wild beasts, the plant life, anything in the ground, in the seas, in the skies, you name it. God has manipulated nature at will. Vayamenam, yes, God, we believe. Gevaldik Kishmak, ready to go out of Mitzrayim. We believe we saw God's hand in nature, Yad Chazaka Zohar Netuya, like never before. We see God gradually revealing Himself to the culmination of Yetzias Hatzayim, which is none other than one of the greatest miracles in the history of the world, Kriyas Yamsuf, the splitting of the Reed Sea, where the famous Mechilta relates. Even the lowly maidservant, we saw revelation like number four, and we could point, this is my God, and I will glorify Him. Mitzvahs, no problem. Shabbos, Kiflam, and Gimel, and Beis, I'm going to be Mahadar, the mitzvahs. God and I are like this. That's a culmination of Yetzias Hatzayim. They commenced with Vayamein Ha'am, and now it traverses yet another step, another rung in the ladder. And what's that? That explains what Moshe Shapiro is. Once again, we'll see Emunah. In the context of the Shira Sayam, what do we read? Vayaminu Bashem of Moshe Avdo. But we already believed. Vayamein Ha'am, the Torah stated, Baruch HaBircha Ketana, we believed. It's a belief, as the Rambam and others point out. You can always attribute it to Kishuf, to some form of optical illusion. But Kriyas Yamsif is a whole new darga, a whole new level of Amunah in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'aminu b'Hashem, and not just in Hashem, but that Moshe Avdo, that he selected Moshe to be his Eved. The Eved Hashem, Yeshua, Perkal, Posagal, V'yomas Moshe Eved Hashem. He's Moshe Rabbeinu, he's the greatest Novi, he's the greatest Anav. But as the Radak points out, the greatest praise of them all is to brand someone with the choice appellation Eved. He's Meshabi, this Kokos of the Gamri, all his myriad aptitudes, all his talents, everything. He's subjugated to the will of the Almighty, to the Ratzon Hashem. That's an Eved Hashem, that's Moshe Avdo. That's Vamina Moshe, Moshe Avdo. God can use a Moshe Rabbeinu to achieve his goals and objectives, but in the end of the day, it's all in Amun and Hashem. And when we get to Matan Torah, once again, we'll read about Amunah, Vagam Bacha, Yaminu, Liola, Moshe Rabbeinu, and the greatest Navi that ever lived. See, yes, we had Amuna. Vayamein ha'am. Vayamein ha'am. Moshe Avdo. And yes, we'll make our way. The journey will culminate standing at the Pinmat of Sinai. And yes, we'll read and we will firmly believe the Gambacha Yaminu Liolam. There's another major component of what this journey was indeed all about. And because let's turn once again, let's shine that spotlight on a pasuk in Parashas Shmos. This time I take your attention and we turn to the last pasuk in Parak Beis of Shmos and we read, Vayar Elokim Espanei Yisrael Vayeda Elokim. Hashem didn't just see us from afar. He came down close. The Maral explains in Gor Aryeh and elsewhere. Vayeda Elokim, he connected to us. Iyadiyah highlights the sense of Chibur. When did we encounter Das in the pages of Chumash? Let's flip back to the outset of creation. To Bereishis, and there we met up with what? With an Eitz HaDas Tovara, explains the Maral. It's a tree that within the confines in that tree, it's an Eitz of Das, of Ischabrus, of an admixture of what? Of Toiv and Ra, not Emerson Check. Like the Rambam writes in Chelek Avamor Nevuchim, it's now transforming the world into a world where it's not clear, black and white. Henceforth, it will be a lot of gray. It'll be a lot of tov and ra. And as Rav Chaim Volozhin writes, and if Shechaim even a tzaddik who does a ma'aseh mitzvah, there'll always be a shtickle, a snippet of shalom lishma intertwined therein. And the same way when a Rasha Marusha, a nefarious, wicked individual might perpetrate, and Avera might go ahead and commit a wrongdoing, this still might be a shtickle, a little snippet, a smidgen of the Shem Shamayim that's mixed in, that's intertwined, because that's the aftermath of eating from an Eitz HaDas Tovara, the inextricably bound up one with the next. It's an Eitz of Chibur of Tovara. And we move on to Bereishis Perek Daled Pasuk Aleph, V'odom Yoda Eschav Ishto. Yoda is highlighting, connoting the sense of marital relations where they Abahayu the Basrecha became mamish like one person. The ultimate state of Ischabrus Ligamri between Ish and Isha. Vodam Yoda Ischava Ishto. Eitz Hadas Tovara. Eitz of Hunderan to the Maral. If a Yid wants to give Eidus, wants to give testimony about something, we label that word. The choice terminology is one of Eidus. What is Eidus? Ayin, Dalet, Sof. Intermingle the letters and what do you spell? Eidus is Osios Das. In order to go and withstand all the derishas and all the chakiras, all the interrogation, there's only one way. To walk out and give proper Eidus that will withstand any interrogation in any base, in any court of law. And that's what? If you had Das, Osios Eidus, and you were Meschaber, you connected to the scene of the crime, then and only then can you give proper Eidus. Vayeda Elokim, Hashem came down and said, I'm going to know you and connect to you, Klai Yisrael, like never before. So what about Klai Yisrael? And we fast forward now to the outset of Parshas Vayera. And what do we read? That why am I taking you out of Mitzrayim? HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us, Vayisi lachem lelokim, I will be for you a God. It's not enough to believe. The Tachlis, the ultimate aim is going to be what? To get to a Yediyah. I don't want you to stop believe. I want you to know Das. I want you to be Meschabered to the Shechina like never before. The Adatim Kiani Hashem of such paramount importance that the Torah Kedoshah's Margish Hatzorah feels the need to reiterate such a lofty concept as we turn the pages to the beginning of Parshas Bo. And what do we read at the outset of Parshas Bo? Once again, Olamata Sapra Biazani Bilcho Ben Bincha. I want you to transmit the concluding words. You have to know the same of Ayedo. The King Hashem says, I don't want you to just believe in me from afar. I want you to bring me up close. I want you to live and bask in proximity to the divine. I want you to encounter the divine every waking moment of your lives. Let's go to Sam Levinson in his 1960s book, The Famous Jewish Comedian. He once quipped in his book, Everything About Money, the next time you feel yourself distance from God, the first question you have to ask yourself is, who moved? Who moved? God didn't go anywhere. You left. Hashem wants nothing more but to be close to each and every one of us. We're the ones who ultimately distance ourselves from proximity to the Shekhinah HaKadosha. The Tachlis HaMitzrayim cannot just be one of Emunah. It'll start with that succinct, laconic statement called Vayamena. Simple. That's it. They believed. Abot, we'll flesh it out. We'll expound upon it. When we have that Eidos of Ischabros of Zekeli, of I see Zekeli Yardeo and I will glorify him. Then couched and nestled against such a backdrop, I'll encounter Emunah once again. Yet a high Madrega of Aymin of Hashem Moshe Abdo. And then I'll stand at the foot of Sinai and I'll proudly declare that Gam Achoy Aymin Olam, yes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I believe in Moshe Rabbeinu. I believe that he's Yishliach Neman, Evan Neman, Karosi Lo. I believe that we're all here to serve you and I'm going to see and witness a grand revelation like never before. And I'll be meschaber v'yadatim. It can't stop within Emunah. It has to develop. It has to be nurtured and fostered until it culminates into a yediyah and to mamish knowing the Ribono Shel Olam. It's an anecdote, a story that's bought by Rav Yehuda Greenspan in the beginning of Parshas Bereishis of a Sefer Chiyuchos HaTorah. It appears in many Sifrei Sipuri Chasidim. Rav Levi Yitzchak Mibarditchov, the famed Kedushas Levi. He was a youngster. He grew up in a Lipisha home. He went out to learn by the Hasidim. And he spent several months learning by the Hasidim. He comes back home. And his father, the ever-proud Litvak, turns to his son, Levi Yitzchak, and says, no, you spent half a year. I'm by the Hasidim. Tell me, what'd you learn? He says, I learned that I know that there's a God. That's it. You left home for 6 months? I had to know that there's a God? That's what you had to leave home for. He says, I'll show you the lowly Shivcha, the maidservant here in our house. He calls her over and he says, tell me, our dear maidservant, do you believe in God? Yes, I believe in God. She didn't have to go to the Hasidim for 6 months. So what'd you spend 6 months of your life doing? She says, yes, she believes in God, but I know that there's a God. She can live and breathe Emunah. She can convey Vayamein Ha'am, Vayamein Ba'ashem. But she's not holding by a Yediyah Berura. A Yediyah that says, I don't just believe in the Almighty, but I know that He's there. And I know Him and I connect to Him and I understand His essence to the very best of my ability. That's where Emunah has to lead. Writes the Rambam. And let's keep in mind the Rambam writing his magnum opus, the Mishnah Torah, the Yana Chazaka. And the Vilna Gaon, as Rabbi Tzalel Lando writes in the Sefer Hagon HaChosim Vilna, the Vilna Gaon said, after the 10 years that the Rambam penned his monumental work, he is of Yana Chazaka, of the Mishnah Torah, the Gross stated it's not shy for a human being to put together in such clear, systematic, brilliant fashion all of the myriad halakhas bandied about Torah. The only way he did it was with Siyata Deshmaya and Ruach HaKadosh. Every word was written, Mila B'Mila B'Ruach HaKadosh. So how does the Rama begin? His monumental work, his magnum opus. A yesod ha-yesodos, and the yesod, the most fundamental basic concept in all of Yiddishkeit is, a yesod ha-yesodos v'amen ha-chochmos, a leido she-yesha motzei risha. It's not enough to believe, but you have to know. And this is fascinating. Because the Rambam writes in the Sefer HaMitzvos, when he delineates for us his shita, his respective opinion, on what are the 613, including in the Minyan HaMitzvos, the Rambam says, Mitzvah number one is Amunah Bashem, predicated on Anochi Hashem Elokecha. Hashem Tzitzicha Me'atzayim, the first in the Decalogue in the Aseret Dibros. Gevaldik, it's all about Amunah. That's his terminology. In the Sefer Mitzvot, it's Amunah. But in the Minyan HaMitzvahs appearing in the preface to his Mishnah Torah, it's not called Amunah, it's called Leido, Yediyas Hashem. And thus he begins his magnum opus, Mishnah Torah. Ayasoda, Yasoda, Zviyam, and Achochmas, Leido, Asher Yashem Atzarishim. And how does he close this unbelievable work? We fast forward to the end of the 14 Chalokim of his Yada Chazoka. We make our way to Hilchos Malach and Perk Yud Beis Halochahei. And once again, the Rambam reiterates, it's all about Yediyas Hashem. And the Sefer HaMitzvos, as the Rabbaz and the Maaser HaKeach and all the Gedolei Achronim point out, the Rambam is telling me, the bare minimum, the basic level of Eschayvus is Amunah. You got to believe in God. But it can't stop there. You have to journey towards the much higher level, the loftier plateau, the more elevated status of Yediyah. It's one thing to sit back and say, yes, I believe. Yediyah says, I want to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu through the mitzvahs, through the Torah Kedosha v'yadatim ki ani Hashem Elokeichem. It might not be shaykh in the context of Yetzias Mitzrayim, but once we get to Mitzrayim out of us, we purge ourselves of all that ancient Egypt represented, and we get the Torah Kedosha, and we have Cheres and Yetzahara, then and only then can we do the Ratzon Hashem. It was the Satmarov, the Divrei Yoel, and his Chedushim on the Chag of Pesach, who points out Yetzias Mitzrayim. What do you? Yetzias Mitzrayim? It should be Yetzia Mimitzrayim. What ought to have been the appropriate terminology? Yetzia mi Mitzrayim. And yet, what is the label Yetzias Mitzrayim? Why? Because the Taklis was not to leave Mitzrayim. It was Yetzias Mitzrayim to get the Mitzrayim out of each and every one of us. And those, yes, it took one night, and that's all God needed to get the Jews out of Egypt. But it took 40 years sojourn in the desert to get Egypt out of the Jews. We got Egypt outside of our panemius. And we received a Torah that enables and empowers each and every one of us to not just believe in God, but to know that He's there to connect to Him, to be meschaber, das, v'yadatem, k'nei Hashem Elokecha. Leida she'yisha motzarisha. And Nostra Amchal, Ramosha Chaim Lutzado, how does he commence his monumental work, Derech Hashem? He connects the Rambam's Sefer HaMitzvahs along with the Rambam's Yad HaChazakah, and echoing that terminology of the devout Rambam, how does the Ramchal begin, Derech Hashem? Yesoda, Yesoda, Sviyam, and Achokmas, Laham, in Veleda. He juxtaposes Amunah to Yediyah. It's got to start with Amunah. By definition, it's got to culminate in Yediyah. It's not enough to just stop at Amunah. It's got to reach Amunah. Has to transform itself ultimately into a Yediyah, a far higher, a more loftier level. Afinias Daiti, how non-coincidental that we have now in Torah Shavuot Peh, Shisha Sinai Mishnah. And let's turn to the Gemara Masechta Shabbos, Daf Lamed Aleph, Amud Aleph. And at the bottom of Lamed Aleph, Amud Aleph, the Gemara relates a posik from Yeshaya, Perek Lamed Gimel, posik Vav. V'hoya Amunah Sitecha Chos in Yeshua's Chochmas Vadas, and the Gemara extrapolates. And the Gemara says, V'ayah Amunas, Zeh Seder's Ram, all about the Amunah, Machlekes Rashi Taisus, Eitecha, Eitim, Zmanim, Moedim, Chosen, Zogt Rashi, Ayadei the Isha, we have Yorshin, we have Asayans, we have descendants. Taharis is Das, that's the last of the Shisus of the Mishnah. And the first is, Vayamunas, Zisei Dezroim. The same way the Yetzias Mitzrayim was beginning with Vayamin Ha'am, was now traversing that middle road called Vayamin Ha'am Moshadu, culminating in the Gamachoy Yaminu Liolam, and far more than that, far more profound, was V'yadatim Ke'ani Hashem L'kechem. As you stood at the Pimat of Sinai, so too when you start, Torah Shavapad begins with what? The starting point of everything in Torah and learning is, it's all about Amunah. It's all about Amunah. Begins with Amunas Zeseid Azroyim, and it culminates in Taharas Zeseid Das. Begins with Amunah, and the climax, the culmination thereof, is none other than Das, than knowing HaKadosh Baruch Hu and connecting to Him like never before. How do we get there? And we know that Emunah is the starting point. That's the first of all Tayag Mitzvahs. But there's something called Emunah Sichlis, which means, yes, intellectually, we all know that there's a God. We believe wholeheartedly in our heart of hearts that there is an Abish who created the world, who continually manipulates nature at will. He's Mashkiach Tamidi over every chelik of the Bria. But it can't just be knowing intellectually that there's a God. On the journey towards Yediya B'Hashem, we have to go ahead and work on ourselves and muster up the ability to not just believe in God in our brains, in our minds and intellect, but to make the journey of what really indeed is the longest journey in all the world, which is taking something from the mind and the intellect and allowing it to pass down and penetrate into every fiber of our essence, into every ounce of our being, to let it go and descend into the heart of hearts. That's a difficult journey. Now let's turn back the pages to Parshas Noach. And Noach began, Noach was, Eila told us, Noach ish tzadik tamim, Hayim b'darosav. And then we fast forward in Parshas Noach itself, to Perek Zion, Pasuk Zion, and we read that Noach entered the Teva. He entered the ark, writes the Torah, Kedoshim name me'amabul, because of the flooding waters, the inundating waters, the great deluge. And Rashi cites the Medrash Rambam, that haf Noach miketoni amunah hayamam and vein amavin, sheyavo mabul achdechu amayim v'nichnas l'teva. Noach was a Maimon, but he wasn't a full-fledged Maimon. And he did not enter the ark until his knees were already up in water. And then he said, oh, I have no choice at this point. I have to go into the Teva. What's going on here? Didn't the Torah tell us at the outset of the parasha that's named for this protagonist that he was proudly a tzaddik, a tamim? A tzaddik sholem, writes the Targum. He was a complete tzaddik. How can you tell me he's a mamin? As to listen to Rav Avram Yaffe writing in his wonderful Musa work, the Rosh Yeshiva from the Vardik, and his Sefer Musa Vadas, and it's echoed by the stipler of Yaakov Yisrael Kanevsky in his Brichas Peretz, and it's echoed by Rav Chaim Freelander in his Sechaim and Bereshis, and by Rav Henoch Leibowitz and Chedush Aleif, and these four Gedolei Musa, they all, b'chod the maxim asinu, they echo more or less slight nuances, but more or less the same sentiment. Yes, Noach was a tzaddik. That's indisputable. The Torah declared as such, he's a tzaddik, tamim hayim b'darusa, but what? But he only had tzidkus in his intellect, in his seichel, in his mind. Amun has sichlis, yes, that he had. But he didn't have amun achushis, he didn't feel it in his bones, he didn't breathe it, yom of alayla. It was in his mind, but it was not sinking, penetrating deep into the recesses of his heart, of his neshama. That's me'me'a babel. He was a mamim, but he was ain't a mamim. This amun has sichlis is amun achushis, and to be an emistic tzaddik, you need to have the emunah not just in your mind, you need to live it, breathe it, and have it in your heart as well. So listen to a Ben Yehoyada. Writes Rabbi Yosef Chaim, the renowned Svardi Gadol. He has a commentary on Shas known as the Ben Yehoyada. And he writes in his Ben Yehoyada, at the end of Maseches Makis, Daf Chavdal and Amar Aleph, I turn your attention to the Sugya of the Anamakis, where the Gemara is discussing how Rabbi Silai tells us how many mitzvahs do we have, 613, which parenthetically, it's the only time in all the 2711 folio pages of Shas that we ever mention the number 613, and that's the Rabban and the Tasbates, and others have a big discussion. Mechitesi, whoever came up with 613, but in my humble opinion, who's the Bala Memra? Rabbi Silai, you know why we have 613? Kirabi Silai, the Gematria of Kirabi Silai, is exactly 613. Rabbi Silai tells us, Torah Tzivolana Moshe, Torah Gematria 611. We got 611 from Moshe. Anochem Yalei Yochel. Let's go now onto Chavdal and Amanal from Pia Gavur Shamanim. 611 and 2, that's 613. But you know what? As the Marshal elders explained, it was very hard to focus all the while on 613. It's a lot of mitzvahs. So through the generations, Ba David, Ramidan Alachad Esrei, until we get to the Sugya, 11 lines up from the bottom in Makkos 24a. And Bachavokik Ramidan Al Achas. I could sum up. And you know the bed. Rock, the tashtit, the yisod of all 613 mitzvahs, it's one mitzvah. The Novi Chavokuk in the Treyasar and Perek Beis Posik Dalad writes, Bo Chavokuk v'midan alachas v'tzadik b'manoso yichya. You want to sum up and encapsulate what all the 613 mitzvahs are essentially about? I want to capture the essence, the gist. What lies at the crux, the common thread woven, interwoven for all the 613 mitzvahs? It comes down to one basic yisod. That tzaddik b'emunoso yichir comes down to emuna. That's it. You have emuna, you'll have everything ultimately. Asks the Ben Yoyada, the saintly Rabbi Yosef Chaya. Isn't the terminology a little bit off? That tzaddik b'emunoso yichir. Lachor, apparently the terminology ought to have been quite... A more apropos should have stated that tzaddik im emunoso yichya. A tzaddik lives with emuna. What do you mean be emuna? What do you mean inside emuna? And writes the Ben Yoyada, writes the Ben Ishchai. A lot of people have emuna in their seicha, but they don't have it in the chush. Yes, intellectually, you know there's a God. And what happens? You get tested and the going gets rough. And that's the litmus test, the gauge, where you're really holding. Do you really believe in God? Are you going to be like a Chaim Yisachar? Are you going to go and be like someone that even the most difficult, painful times in his life, he never gave up? Not only did he ever give up, but he was still holding tenaciously and steadfastly unto emuna chazoka, unto an emuna that says my emunah is not just in the realm of the intellect. I allow it to sink and penetrate into the inner recesses of my heart and soul. That's emunah chushis. To be a real tzaddik, a genuine righteous individual, writes the Ben Ishchai, you need tzidkus and emunah up here, and you need the emunah in your heart. Emunah aleph mem vav nun hey yields the gematria, the Hebrew equivalent of 102. Amunah in your seichel, 102. Amunah in your chush, in your heart, in your senses, 102. 102 and 102 is 204, the exact gematria of tzaddik, tzadi dalad yudkov. V'tzaddik be'amunoso yichya. To be a real, genuine tzaddik, you need what? Not im amunah. Be'amunah, so you need beis amunas, amunah seichel in your intellect, coupled and accompanied by definition with amunah in your chush, in your heart as well. Amunah up here and amunah down here, 102 and 102, gamach amunah. Sachakol, the outcome, the tally, the upshot is 204, gamachria tzaddik, tzadi dalad yudkov. That's the Ben Ishchai. That's a geshmak of art. So it starts with emunah. It makes its way to yediyah, but the emunah has to go and journey from the realm, the domain of the intellect, and make its way into the realm of the neshama, of the heart, of your lev and nefesh, of your soul. My grandfather, Mr. Joseph Rosek, Olav HaSholom, growing up and visiting him annually in Seattle, Washington for Pesach, he used to love sharing with us how in the old Guinness Book of World Records, they used to have a picture of Jean-Francois Gravelet, perhaps the most spectacular funambulist or tightrope walker ever in the history of the world. And there are pictures in not only the Guinness Book of World Records, but other history books, how he crossed over Niagara Falls once with his PR manager on his back, going piggyback on a tightrope across Niagara Falls. And what's the story behind it? You can read about it in History Today, Volume 59, Issue 6, June 2009. This Blondin, who borrowed his father's nickname, he once crossed over Niagara Falls with his top hat and manager across on his back. What happened? His manager said, you know what, Blondin, you're the most famous, world-renowned tightrope walker, funambulist, you have to go out and do something that's really going to capture the world's attention. You have to be the first individual to cross over Niagara Falls in a tightrope. What am I sugar up? I cross over Niagara Falls in a tightrope. He says, you think I could do it? He says, of course you could do it. He says, yeah, you have emunah. You believe that I could do it? He says, well, then of course you could do it. He says, you really, really believe that I could do it? Yes, I really, really believe. He says, if you really believe, then you'll go piggyback. V'kachova. Who's more of a meshuggah? At least the other guy got the money, he got the fame, and this guy goes piggyback. Why? Oh, I believe you can do it. Yeah, until it comes down to it. Meaning, what? There's a moon of a seichel. Do you have a moon of a chush? Do you really believe it? There's a moon, and there's a moon of shleima. Just like this tshuva and tshuva shleima, a gula and a gula shleima, a rafu and a four shleima, Rosh Yitavis Esrog, Aleph, Tav, Reish, Gimel, the four shleimas that we have in this world. Aleph, a moon of shleima, Tav, tshuva shleima, Reish, a four shleima, and Gimel, gula shleima. Why in the world are these Rosh Yitavis Esrog? What's the common denominator in these four? For that, you're going to have to invite me back to the shul. I we only have another hour tonight. So we have emunah, and then we have what's called the emunah shlema. I believe, but it's not enough to believe intellectually. I have to allow it to sink ever so gradually and become part and parcel of every fiber of my being, of my etzem, mahus. I got to live it. Yes, we know there's a God. And what happens? And then a person, Rahman Islam, gets unemployed, gets hit with a cancer, gets into an accident. All of a sudden, where's my God? The real test of life, what separates the men from the boys, the women from the girls? It's when life gets tough. That's the limit test, the true yardstick and gauge. Where are you really holding? It's very nice. You believe in God. Do you really have that belief? Do you live with it? Do you sense it? Are you carrying it in your heart, or does it stay secluded and lies dormant in the realm of your intellect and your brain? That's the true test of life. And thus, Rav Chana Wasserman, on page 35 of his Kovetz Mamorim, and Achatzka Levenstein, on page 26 of his Or Yecheskel and Emuna, and they describe and they delineate for us, you have to start with Emuna B'Seichel, but the Emuna Sichles, by definition, has to be elevated to Emuna Chushis. You got to live with it, and when you get tested in life, that's the real gauge. Where are you really holding in your Yiddishkeit? Very nice, you believe in God. Can you live with God? It's very nice you believe in God. Do you know that God exists? And do you know Him through thick and thin? Do you know Him like a Chaim Yisachar? Oliver Sholem knew Him. No matter what he was dealt with in life, had the fortitude, clinging ever tenaciously onto Emunah Esana, Emunah Chazaka, Emunah Shlema, in his Seichel and in his Lev and Nefesh as well. So then what's Yediya? What new Madrega's out there, encompassed under the rubric of Yediya? It starts out by Yemein Ha'am and it traverses through. But it doesn't stop there, because as the Torah told us both in Va'ira and again in Bo, in the context of the Yeser Makas, you should know Hashem constantly reminds us it can't stop at Emunah, it can't even stop at Emunah Shlema. It's got to reach Yediyah. That's the Rabbas, that's the Maaser Rokeach, that's the Rambam. The explanation, as the Gedolei Achronim tell us, is yes, it starts with Emunah, but it must, by definition, be fleshed out and fostered and nurtured until it can manifest itself as a Leda, Sheyisha Matzarishin, both at the beginning and at the end of his Yad Chazaka, of his magnum opus, the Mishnah Torah. So what is the idea? Heschabros, Das, Osios Eidos, attaching ourselves to the Almighty, getting to know Him like never before. V'aldem Yod Heschavishto. V'aldem Yod Heschavishto, the Maral explains, the ultimate Heschabros is men and women. And yes, Rabbi Akiva tells us in the pages of Sota, the middle of Daf Yud Zayin Amud Aleph, Darish Rabbi Akiva, Ish V'Isha, Zochu Shechina Shuvi B'neihem, they bring down the Ish, and a Yud. Isha, Ish, and a Hey, Menachos 29b, Kibakash Shem Tzor Lamin. The Ish is Olam Haba, is Machshava, the Yud. That's the only letter in the Alephase that hovers above the line. The smallest, a mere spillage of ink on a piece of paper. Ish is Olam Haba, the Olam HaSayonim Shemayim. And Ish is bring the Yud down to the horizontal line and spread it into the Dalet Ruchos Olam, promulgate, disseminate it to the four directions of the world. And that's Ish and Isha uniting Olam HaSayonim and Tachtainim. Bamitziah 59a, Ruchni is the man is in charge making the decisions. Gashmi is Olam Hazeh, the man streaming, I want to make millions and millions. The wife says, look, honey, just put the give us dinner tonight. Put the food on the table. Ish olam haba, isha olam haza. They bring the Shechina together, ish and ish. V'hodem yodes chava ishto is the ultimate expression of ischabros, and that's why in marital relations, all the chamisha chushim, all the senses are involved. Because it's a kulo experience of a yediyah of Adam Yodes Chavishto, the ultimate expression of Eschabrus. All the senses are involved. And with that in mind, we go back to Maimon Har Sinai and we encounter a most fascinating phenomenon and unbelievable mechilta. I turn your attention now to Parshas Yisro, Perachov, Pasuk Tezvav. Vayar Ha'am, Vayanu, Vayamdu Mirachok. And writes Rashi, I'll pee the mechilta, listen to this one. Vayar, what's Vayar? Just like Vayar Amasakolos, Every blind person miraculously was healed. Every deaf person was healed. Every lame individual miraculously. All ailments and infirmities, all bandied about the medical world, everybody was miraculously healed. By Matan Tyrus, we stood by Yichad Sham Yisrael. Yutes Beis Ki Yishecha B'lei B'chon. We were Amish, not just together in one cohesive unit, as one family, as one filial connection, as one Am, Losh and Im, togetherness, but we were all together as one. Not only Bofen Kali, Bofen Kali, Hein Bofen Kali, Hein Bofen Ishi, Bofen Prati, we were Mamish Ki Yishechad. We had all of our senses, all the Chamisha Chushim. We were all there. We were fully intact. Why? God does not do miracles for naught. Ramban writes in Parshas Noach, Hashem Yisbarach is always Mamayit Benisim. So why the need to have everybody miraculously healed? Explains on Mordechai Miller in his Yontif Shiurim and Shavuos, and I pause for a moment because the truth is, it's such an important yisod. Something that Mordechai Miller expounds upon, it's something that he mentions. We've seen it in Greek mythology. We've seen it in the British theater. I remember in Johns Hopkins University, I was pursuing a graduate degree in philosophy, and we had to read about Greek tragedies. Greek tragedies through the perspective of the Greek playwrights. So you understand Aristophanes, a comic playwright. But Euripides, Sophocles, Oedipus Rex, who likes tragedies? Why in the world do people like reading Greek tragedies? How about the British theater, Shakespearean theater? We understand people might like comedies, but Hamlet, Othello, King Lear, why do people like the tragedies in the old British theater? Interestingly enough, there was a black flag that they positioned atop the roof of the theater to let you know it was a tragedy. Black, funeral. If it was a red flag, then you knew it was a comedy. And the tragedies were filled with people just like the comedies. Why? I always wondered, why do people read books by Stephen King? I can't figure it out. I remember years ago, I was a teenager growing up in the 70s. And in the 80s, he came out with a 1,000-page book called It. I said, how can anyone waste their time reading a book that doesn't even have a title? He couldn't even come up with a title. He named it It. 1,000 pages to read the book It. Years ago, two friends of mine, they took me to one of his movies. I have nightmares to this day, 30, 40 years later. And because I saw this thing, why do people like Stephen King? And Harry Potter, how many young kids I go and read Harry Potter? And they momish, they go see the movies, Harry Potter. And what happens? Yes, well, how was it? How was it? I don't know. I had my eyes closed the whole time. It was scary as can be. I said, why do people enjoy tragedies? Why do people go to Disneyland? And they go on Space Mountain. How'd you like it? I was scared out of my mind. Oh, but it was great. So what'd you do it for? And it's a profound insight. And there's a lot of truth and veracity to it. We don't just go on scary rides at a great adventure for the thrill. Yes, that is one of the components, but it's a far deeper, more profound concept. Years ago, I went to Chol Hamoed Pesach to Great Adventure. And Baruch Hashem, Hashem gave me a day where I had to wait 1 to 2 hours on each ride. It took me 3 hours to get there, 3 hours to get back. I went on 3 rides the whole day. I said, that's it, Bli Nether. I'm never going back again to Great Adventure. And Baruch Hashem, I have no cheshek anymore. But I remember one of the 3 rides that I went on. Now we have to cheshbon. What was it? $80? How much money? I said, 3 rides. There was a ride called Free Fall. So what was Free Fall? Listen to the chop. Free Fall is we're going to take you about 150, 200 feet up in an elevator, quasi-like elevator, and then we're just going to press the button and we're going to drop you. That's it. We're going to drop you. So I waited 2 hours online for 6 seconds to have a button pressed to fall. I said I could have gone to my house. I could have jumped from the top of the staircase, from the bottom of the staircase. I would have saved myself 3 hours each way. It wouldn't have cost me any money. 6 seconds of just letting go. It's a Pella. Why? And people get scared out of their minds. What's with Harry Potter? What's with Stephen King? Why do they do it? And the idea is explained to Mordechai Miller from Gateshead. Because we have so many emotions bending about inside of us, we have to exorcise ourselves from the banality of our daily lives and existence, and we have to purge from our midst and undergo a cathartic process wherein we tap all the full gamut of all the human faculties and emotions. Why do we feel good when somebody insults us? And then we go under our covers, seclude and sequester ourselves in our bedroom, put on our favorite music, and we go under the covers in our down blanket and our down comforter and the geshmak pillow, and we cry our hearts out, and after 10 minutes of crying, how do you feel, Geshmak? I feel great. We feel good after a good cry. After a Harry Potter book, the kids like it. After a Space Mountain, they're scared out of their daylights. Why do they like it? Because we feel real, we feel whole. Because we want to tap all the human faculties and emotions. We want to feel whole, we want to feel shalom, we want to feel complete. We feel good after a good cry, and especially after a geshmak, a laugh. We like the comedies, but indeed, we run after the tragedies as well. We like the scary rides, not just for the thrill, because we want to feel complete. What was the chat, the einfalt of a Walt Disney? You go to Disney. Why is Disney so fascinating? Because usually, as Jerry Seinfeld once quipped, there's no such thing as a vacation that's fun for the entire family. Right? If the girls like it, the guys can't stand it. If the parents like it, the kids hate it. And the end of the day, you can't find a vacation. But there's something called Disneyland and Disney World. And I'm not promoting Disney here. But what was the chop of Walt Disney? I'll give you one place, many acres, that'll have what? Adventureland and Tomorrowland and Fantasyland. What do you want? You want to go ahead and take it easy? Go on into Small World. Go on Snow White. Go on Dumbo. You want some scare? Go on Big Thunder. Go on Space Mountain. And the end of the day, there's something here for every age, for every gender, for every type, every personality. And when you take your 3D VIP pass, if you waste the money on that, then what's it all about? I went on every ride. I feel good. There was one with Sugar Nut. He went on It's a Small World. It's a Small World. After all, we all know the nigga, and I'm not going to sing it to you. Because this guy, he liked the ride. He went on a second time. The second time around, the ride broke down in the middle of the ride. He had to sit for an hour hearing repeatedly, Zeolam, Katan, Katan, Mode. It's a Small World, Small World. After all, he sued Disney, true story, for $1 million. $1 million for all the therapy sessions to get that silly song out of his mind. So why do people go? Because we want Adventureland. And Tomorrowland and Fantasyland, you know why? Because we want to purge and undergo that cathartic process we're in. We've tapped all the range, the full gamut of human emotions and faculties. We want to feel whole, we want to feel complete, we want to feel real. David and Melech, bandied about, Sefer Tehillim, the full range of all emotions, fear running away from Shaul, running for his life, and joy, sheer exhilaration and ecstasy from Kapitel Aleph through the culmination, Kapitel 150, and Zion Bosa Hasimo. How does David sum it all up? This one final concluding line, and what is that? Kol HaNeshama Tahalaka explains Rav Soloveitchik Gishmak, Rav Soloveitchik Mordechai Miller and others. The sum of what all Tehillim is about is David HaMelech, the Eved Hashem, says, Hashem, I give you my fears, I give you my joyous moments, my sorrowful, my pensive moods, a somber notes. David HaMelech, who's the one who gave us the seven stringed harp, Erech and Afyud Gimla Mabez. David HaMelech is the one to say that Kol Otzmosai Tomarna, I give you all of me. I'm going to play the instruments in my joy singing to God. I'm going to play what? Halu, Kabadeva, Vachina, Vasefa, Mocha, Mabina, Vuga. Different types of hearts, drums. What does it do? The drums muster and conjure feelings of courage and bravery. And you have the string instruments, the brass, the wood instruments. This one puts you in a pensive, sober mood. This one puts you in a sorrowful mood. This one joy. This one ups and downs. And you know what Tehillim's about? It's about life is replete with ups and downs. Life is one continuous roller coaster of difficult times, of good times. And the story of life is the story of Tehillim. You got to take all that range of emotions, the fears, the pachad, the joys, the exhilaration, the ecstasy. Bring it all together just like the symphony orchestra. I remember years ago, I was engaged to my kala. And someone told me, you know what, the great place to go on a date, after all, after a while, you run out of places to go in engagement, you still have to date. I always tell people, Shalom Ayis, you always have to be dating your wife. So, Baruch Hashem, usually I try Wednesday night as date night. Instead, tonight I decided to spend my date night here in the shul, Baruch Hashem. Kabbalah, what could be better? I'll have to make it up, Tashlumen. Uncle Ponim, and you always have to be dating, so I decided, you know what, I'm going to take her to a classical concert in Lincoln Center. A true story. So I take it to Lincoln Center. I call it before and I said, I just want to make sure nobody's singing, right? Because, you know, Makbet Kalisha, I want to make sure nobody's going to do any opera. They said, don't worry, sir, there's no singing here. It's just playing Mozart, a night of Mozart. I said, great. So I got myself a seat and there we are on the balcony. And we sit next to these two women in jeans and sweaters, I still remember. And all of a sudden, after the first series of Mozart symphonies, all of a sudden a 500-pound woman comes on stage. And my wife, my Kala, soon-to-be wife, says, I think she's going to sing. I said, no, I called up. She's not going to sing. Next thing you know, she opens up her mouth, and oh, boy, did she sing. And I said, okay, we're going to walk out. We walk out. We waited for the 20-minute interlude, and she finished her singing. We come back in, and we're making our way to the seat, and these two ladies stand up to let us back in, jeans and sweaters, and they turn to me, and they say, you know, you look like you might be a rabbi one day. Maybe you should be a little more careful about Kalisha the next time you come to a concert. True story. Always call up Lincoln Center and get the question right. Classical concert. I still remember there was a little guy in a corner hitting a triangle every 5 minutes. Now, I understand the violinist. I understand the one on the drums. The cymbals, it's geschmack. They're playing a pivotal role in the symphony, and the melodious tunes exhibited by the symphony orchestra came out. How much are they paying that guy? He's standing on the corner every 10 minutes. Boom, ding, a little ding on a triangle. But the terrace is what? That's Kol HaNeshama. Because to make the Mozart really fleshed out, you need what? You need the drums, and you need the violins, the strings, the brass, the wood instruments. And yes, you need that mashugana on a triangle too. It's got to be the complete picture. You need It's a Small World and Snow White and Dumbo, along with your big thunders and space mountains. Because it's got to be the full gamut. It's got to be the whole range. That's Tehillim, because that's life. It's Kol HaNeshama Tehalo Kahaluka. You know what the idea is? All the senses are involved. You got to give HaKadosh Baruch Hu all of you. V'hayu l'basar echad. That's when you connect. You give HaKadosh Baruch Hu all of you. When you feel Hashem inside all of you, that's the inin of Shleimus. That's what it means to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Writes the Vilna Gaon, and here we're nearing our end. It's time to wake up once again. The Vilna Gaon writes in Chiddush HaGroi Mari Noam, the Seches Brachos Davav Amid Aleph. We know that men who don tefillin every single day, there are four compartments in the tefillin Sharosh, one compartment in the tefillin Sheyad. Why? Tvarim Gadolim Einam Emirko, nothing's coincidental. Why do we have four and one? Explains the Gaon, because the whole idea of donning tefillin when a Jew gets up in the morning. You know what life is all about? Life is about, I have four senses in my head and one in my hand. I have chush ha'riyu, chush ha'shmiyu, chush ha'rech, and chush ha'tam. I have the sense of sight, the sense of sound, sense of smell, the sense of taste. Four chushim, four means of interacting, located on my face. Four components, I give that to the Ribbono Shel Olam. And when I have chush ha'mishus, the sense of touch on my hand, one compartment is left over, I give that to Hashem, I tie it down, figuratively, thus demonstrating that I belong to God. All my senses belong to God. I give myself over to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's what life is all about. A Jew gets up in the morning. My favorite, to a David Carlino Vort. How did you get up in the morning? So many people like coffee. My wife stocks me in my office at the White Shul with great coffees, Baruch Hashem. I have all these mishalochim coming from Eretz Yisrael, Rosh Hashivas, Rosh Hakolim, people trying to make chasanos, and I always try to be congenial. I always offer them a cup of coffee. My wife has to be stocked. They got today with the Keurig devices. You got, I haven't had to buy Dunkin' Donuts or Starbucks in years, because you got now hazelnut, and you got French vanilla, you got pumpkin spice, you got breakfast blend, you got everything you want. So I asked these shoes, would you like a cup of coffee? I said, what can you offer me? I said, I got breakfast blend, I got pumpkin spice, I got hazelnut. I said, do you have a regular? I'm sorry, I don't have any regular coffee. It was an old T-shirt. I remember when I used to buy coffee in Dunkin' Donuts. It says, friends, don't let friends drink Starbucks. It's all about, nowadays, Keurig, you could save so much money. All the different flavors, all the different coffees. How do you get up in the morning and make a cup of coffee? And it starts with the bitter coffee grains, and then you put them sweeteners, some sugar, some NutraSweet, if you're not that healthy. And you have what? You start with the dark coffee, you add some milk, some creamer, and you make it light. It starts out hot, you put in some water, some milk, some creamer, you make it cold. Explains a double cleaner, and I'm telling you, if you forgot everything else I said tonight, there is no way you're ever going to forget this part. Because a Yid, an Erlich, a Jew, gets up in the morning, and you make that cup of coffee, and you hold that cup of coffee in your hand, and you say, is today going to be bitter, or is it going to be sweet? Is it going to be, it's a story, a picture of contrasts. Is it going to be dark? Is it going to be light? Is it going to be bitter? Is it going to be sweet? Is it going to be hot? Is it going to be cold? Echleishnit, I don't know what today's going to be like. There's only one thing I know, whatever it's going to be, shehakol nehiyeh bevaro. It's going to be exactly the way the Ribbono Shel Olam wants it to be. That's how we start our day. Hashem, I don't know what today's going to bring. Mi yichya, mi yomus, mi ba'esh, mi b'mayim, but whatever it's going to be, it's going to be exactly the way the Ribbono Shel Olam wants it to be. The Vilna Gaon says, all my senses I give over to the Eibushter. And listen to this unbelievable Rabbeinu Bachai. He writes in his Perush al HaTorah, Parshas Tzav, Perachas, Pasuk Chav Gimel. We have five fingers. Why did God give us five fingers? Why didn't he give us four fingers? What about six? Yes, then it'll look queer. We'll look alien-like. Star Wars all over again. But that's only because we're used to five. Why did God give us five fingers? Right, so bin Machai Parsha Sav, 8:23, B'Shem Chochmei Ateva. We have five fingers corresponding to the five senses. To the five senses. And God created each and every finger to instinctively and automatically serve the sense to which it corresponds. You ever wonder, why do babies suck their thumbs? Why didn't your child suck on his or her pinky? Because the thumb is meant to serve the mouth. You clean out after a steak dinner. Imagine you went to Mike's Bistro. You had a geschmack, a piece of steak. And it stuck in between your teeth. What do? You get it out with the thumb. People, unfortunately, I don't want to offend anyone, people sometimes clean out their noses using the second finger. Why? Because that corresponds to Chush HaReach, right? So Bein HaBachai. People want to scratch an itch on their body. Which finger do they use? The third finger, which is the longest finger. It's the longest finger. We measure the Amawai. It scratch an itch wherever it is on the body. It can reach more places and destinations than any other finger. And people want to go in and clean out their eyes. What do they use? They often resort to the fourth finger. And people want to clean out their ears. In Old English, by the way, this used to be called the ear finger. Why? Because it was Yadua. Everybody knew you cleaned out your ears using the pinky. Five fingers, serving instinctively and automatically the five chushim. Vilna Gaon, four boxes, four compartments, 12 Sarosh, four senses, I give that over to you, Ribbono Shalom. Well, not the sense of touch, I give that over to you as well. What is the credo by which every single one of us lives our lives? What is the credo of each and every Jew? Shema Yisrael Hashem HaKadosh Shem Echad. Right, so Rav Avraham Shor, now look at Halib of a bunch of Vayigas, listen to this Geshmak and Gematria. We have the names of the five fingers, Ksuvis the Tapa Hayim and Beis. This is called the Godel. This is the Etzpa. This is the Amma, this is the Kibitza, this is the Zeres. Add up the Gematria of all the five fingers and the Yad, the hand. When we say Shema, the Rosh, the Meiri, based on the Gemara, at the beginning of Perek Beis, on Meseches Brachas, the bottom of Yud Gimel and Beis, what do? Based on what Rabbi Nasi did, we take our hand and our fingers and we cover over our eyes. And that's how we say Shema Yisrael. You know why we do that? Because the finger is what? The Yad, Gematria 14. Godel, Etzpa, Amma, Kibitza, Zeres. It equals exactly 1,118, which likewise equals exactly Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. God, I'm giving you my five fingers, I'm giving you my five senses, I'm giving you all of me belongs to you. That's not just Emunah. And yes, it's not just Emunah Shleima. That's the idea. God, I believe in you, I want to connect to you, I want to know you. That's Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. And thus we reach the end of our shiur tonight. Zeicha Nishmas Chaim Yisachar. His Choshva brother, Rabbi Aaron Shlita, sent me some emails that he wrote in the midst of his last illness. And when the leukemia returned, he said, and he wrote, please let us all take this current bump in the road and transform it into a golden opportunity. An opportunity to show and prove to Hashem that even when things don't go the way we would like them to, we will never lose our faith in Him and we know that He will take care of us. It's all for the best. Everything is from Hashem, and everything is always for the best. Our approach to this current setback is no different than the approach we have taken all along. We have to continue to daven to strengthen our emunah and to know, Yedia, that Hashem will take care of us. In capital letters in Chaim Yisachar's email, I know He will do this, because that's what He was all about. It wasn't just, I believe that He runs the world this way. It wasn't just, I believe, Bemuna Shlema, that God runs the world this way. Chaim Yisachar, Zechon Levracha, knew when he lived, I know that we will do this. And dated March 27, 2012, it's been a wild week for me, a week in which I don't remember most and have been confused by a lot. But there is one thing that has never been shaken, that is the trust and belief that I have in Hashem. To be honest with you, I'm not really sure of all its details that went down, and I'm certainly not sure of the future that will be. But there's one thing I do know, and that is that Hashem will always be guiding me, will always be loving me, protecting me, watching over me, and carrying me. Hashem, you are my love, you are my joy, you are my Savior, and you are my protector. Hashem, I hope and pray that you give me the strength to continue growing, to continue to try and spread your great name in this tiny little world. If you have a spouse, I close with Chaim Yisachar's precious words. Go home tonight and kiss your spouse. If you have children, go home tonight and kiss each and every one of your children. If you have been praying for a child or a spouse, please never give up your search. Because as long as we keep trying, no matter how hard the struggle may seem, Hashem will always provide for us. It's a hard search and it's a hard struggle. But Hashem's love is too great for us to stop trying. Hashem loves you, and Hashem loves each and every Jew, and no matter what happens, that love will never, ever disappear. I love you all very, very much. And let's just keep going. Hope to speak to you soon. With much love, Yosef Chaim Yisachar, we hope to see you soon. We hope to speak to you soon because you davening for all of us, your Mishpacha Chashuva, and each and every one of us here and all of Chai Yisrael by the Kisei Covenant in your very special place, and in Gan Eden Shemaila, and your love, and your Emunah, and your Yedi and Hashem. Please be a Melech Yosha for us all. Shower Hashem's love upon each and every one of us and help bring us to Mashiach Tzidkenu and Tchias Amesim so we could see you, hug you, and dance with you once again. Thank you so much for coming. Have a wonderful night, and we shall get together henceforth for many, many simchas and Mashiach Tzidkenu. Mehi Rav Yameinu, Amen V'Yameinu. I'm going to go to the hospital. 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 I'm going to go to the hospital.